Welcome to episode 364 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and George. It's no big secret that we here at Outlander Travel love Alaska, and we love to cruise. So just a few weeks ago, Outlander travel agent Lindsay was able to experience both of these with Royal Caribbean on the Ovation of the Seas. She's here today on a brief break between cruises to share a little bit more about her time on this fantastic ship. So let's get started. So Lindsay, how was it?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I can honestly say this is my new favorite Royal Caribbean ship.
Really? This was right in your backyard too. Yeah. So that was nice.
It is right in my backyard. And you guys know like what high praise that is, because before this year started, I was kind of like, I like Royal for other people. Because I hadn't really found my class. I hadn't found my ship yet. And I think it's this one. I definitely think it's this one. The live music. I mean, I was in the music hall every single night on this ship. I sung karaoke, made friends in the karaoke bar. I did karaoke with a live band.
That's cool. Hard to do.
Only other cruise line I ever got to do that with was Fathom. And that was something that was so super special that I missed. And it was so cool to get to do it on the Ovation. And there's so much. George, you're a techie. You're going to love, like, the 270 lounge was phenomenal.
See, when I went, the lounge was cool. I didn't think the show was very good. It was really bizarre. So maybe the show you saw was better. 2 years ago, I did Alaska.
Oh, so you saw did you see Pixels? Because that's what I saw.
You weren't on the Ovation though, right? You were on.
Yeah, I was on Ovation.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I did the little pre-show in the lounge too, the night before, like on the first night, to make sure that they show you all the things that the robots can do. And I thought that was awesome to get to watch that. There was a bunch of little demos that they do.
That part was really cool with the spinning and the screens and all the other stuff. Yeah.
And this ship probably has the most beautiful solarium ever. It was just like cascading pools and hot tubs all around the back. And it was awesome. And that 270, I did spend quite a bit of time in the 270 lounge. Even during the day, I'd go in there and work because it was nice and quiet and the view was phenomenal. And it's a great place in the morning to grab breakfast at the little 270 cafe that's right there. It's kind of like people don't even realize it's there. They head to the Windjammer or they head to wherever. I like to get breakfast and sometimes like light lunch or snacks in the cafe.
And so is that mostly like an observation lounge?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a lounge that's set up for shows, but it's got the big floor to ceiling windows. So you can, watch the sunset off the aft of the ship. And
okay. Is it like the atrium, like where you come in, or?
No, it's to the aft.
So it's just yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
It's not the atrium where you come in. Now the atrium where you come in, what's cool about this ship that I noticed was a little bit different from the other Royal Caribbean ships that I've been on is it was stunningly beautiful. There was a metal forest that you had to walk through in the center. There was beautiful red petals strung on strings in the little atrium area by Jamie Oliver's and by the other by the Vino place. But there it was designed by the same people who built the Celebrity ships. So, and it was designed for the Asian market. So I think it has a little bit of a different feel to it to me than the other ones. And I could be wrong on this. Somebody please correct me, but I felt it was exceptionally gorgeous. And there were all these really cool little fun hidden places. Like even if you didn't want, there was a place where you could kind of look down through the floor to the water. It's really cool.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's cool.
And there, let's see. I'm trying to think of what else was kind of a little bit different. I liked the layout. I liked the pub in Sorrento's was really close to the music hall. And so all the things that it felt like all the things I really cared about or wanted to do were really accessible in one area of the ship, and spent a lot of time in Schooner.
So does it have like the promenade area like most of the royal ships do, or?
Not the way that you're thinking of promenade area.
Okay.
There is a promenade there, but it's not like the indoor you're thinking Oasis class Freedom class.
It looks like a mall. Yeah.
It looks like a mall. It was maybe like a shopping strip. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't call that a mall. But George, what do you think? How would you describe that?
Because it was a little twisty and turny, and they did have some of the restaurants there, like Azumi was in one corner. So it kind of stuck out on that end. The only thing I didn't like about it was the Schooner Bar. It was like they just decided to kind of wedge it in the corner or off of the end of the section, and it was really loud. So anything that was going on out in the area, you couldn't hear in the Schooner Bar.
I didn't really notice that, and I spent a lot of time in there. So the Schooner Bar was upstairs.
Yeah,
and
down at one end.
Maybe it was just very quiet there. Maybe they moved stuff to the music hall, because I know that the music hall was used for everything. Bingo, for all the game shows, for
okay, because that's where they were trying to do trivia for this at the Schooner Bar. And you couldn't hear it because they had entertainment going on out in the
The trivia was in the pub.
Okay.
Which is a good call, I think, because that was a great place for the trivia. My friend who went with me on this cruise, Julie, she loves trivia. So she pretty much lived in the pub doing trivia. It was really nice. They had a great piano bar singer, and they had like some of the most comfortable seats. It was high backed throne like chairs that you could just kind of snuggle into, and I felt like it was a good layout. I didn't notice anything. And of course I should preface this with like, this ship was not full. I mean, they're ramping up, right? So they're going to be, their goal was to be at 100% capacity, or not, but to be open 100% by January. But so I don't really know where they are in that system. I kind of feel like this ship was maybe 60%.
That's what I just read something today. It was somewhere between 50% and 60%.
Somewhere, that sounds about right. And it never felt crowded. It never felt
I feel like we're in this kind of golden age where it's gonna be a very short-lived time, you know, and then it'll all be back. But it's kind of a good time to get some of this travel in.
Now's the time to get on some of these ships that you normally, because the thought of going on a massive ship that's just completely 100% full is not appealing to me at all. But I will be sailing on the Ovation again, because now I've fallen in love with the ship and I've fallen in love with the crew. So
that's how they get you.
I know they get you. They really in. And the food was really, really, really good. Yeah. I will say, I did eat, and you know what the big thing was. I actually ate in the main dining room a couple nights.
Wow.
Yeah. And I ate at Windjammer twice.
Did they serve you there, or did you have to get yourself?
They serve your plate. They serve it on your plate. They serve it, and then you kind of go around and get your own stuff, and they'll bring you your drinks and that. I was really impressed with the food. I was impressed with the specialty dining we did. Wonderland, which I will say that would my one thing. I did like Wonderland, my other Wonderland experience, a little better. And it might've been because I was with more people and we tried more things. I love Jamie Oliver's, ate there twice. We ate at Azumi so much on my last cruise with my friend that we didn't eat at Azumi at all this time because we'd Azumi'd ourselves out. But I had the best steak I've ever had at Chops. Like, it was just so perfectly done. It was, my only complaint was it was so big. It was like the size of the plate, and I could have fed a family of five. It was crazy, crazy large amount of food. My friend Julie went to the chef's table. I was supposed to go with her, and I got a little bit seasick on this one, I will say. Now I'm reaching that age in my life where I need to start traveling with
Boning, Dramamine.
Yeah, Boming. Yeah. Not Dramamine, because Dramamine makes you tired. But I needed to start traveling with, I had to be down at the deck, at the desk, asking for the little pity packet with this.
Well, we had to do that when we went to Alaska on Holland, yeah, too. Yeah. So was that
shoulder season thing? I think the closer you get, because this was a September sailing.
Yeah.
I think the later you get, the rockier it's going to be.
Yeah, we sailed in June. It was pretty smooth.
Maybe that makes
sense. I think that's just part of the par for the course. I'm just going to add it to my travel kit of like old lady drugs I already have to take with me everywhere. Put it in my little emergency bag.
So I have a specific question about your itinerary.
Okay.
Because I know, you know, we've done Juneau and Skagway and Sitka, and those are all awesome. And I do want to hear about if there was anything new at those. But you did Endicott Arm and Dawes Glacier. And I know you've done Glacier Bay, because I did that with you. So compare those for me. Am I going to be sad if I miss Glacier Bay, if I can do those other glaciers?
No. This was stunningly, and in fact, I feel so bad because I was telling you guys earlier, the most beautiful pictures I have ever taken in Alaska, I took on that day in Endicott Arm and Dawes Glacier. Just gorgeous contrast with my stupid little cell phone. George, I know you're judging. but I have the most beautiful pictures, and I haven't posted any of them yet because I haven't had time. I just kept running around like a hummingbird. Like I was one side of the, because there are these arms, I forget what they're called, but they're in the solarium. If you go all the way out to the bottom of the solarium to the front, there are two arms that are out on the side, and you can kind of go out there and you can get the most incredible pictures, but then also you can from the middle, like everywhere you go. And then don't forget, if you have a balcony, to go back to your cabin, because really some of the best pictures I got were from my own balcony. I ran down and I had to go get, I think, a battery charger for my phone. And then I just noticed that, oh my gosh, here I am. What am I doing up there? I was on deck 10 and I had this gorgeous view from my balcony. And so I sat out there and took pictures. Please do not do Alaska without a balcony. Whether you book your travel with us or not, just don't go without a balcony.
So did they open the bow on the ship?
They had that open for crew. Unfortunately, it was not. That was one disappointment. And I don't know if it was a COVID thing or if it was just not what they do, because I know another cruise line we like does that, and I kind of liked it a lot. Yeah. So I was waiting for that to happen. It did not happen. But I don't feel like it diminished my enjoyment of that area at all. Now, I will say this. The North Star was incredibly hard to try and get into because of COVID. It's very restricted to how many people can be in there. I think they're only letting like four at a time or something. So you have to pre-book that. And the best days to do it, or the days that are the most popular, are obviously in the Inside Passage in the morning on that day before you're in Juneau, and then Endicott Arms and Dawes Glaciers. That's when you want to be up there. I don't know that I didn't get to do that, but I don't know that I really felt like I missed anything, because I don't know if taking pictures through glass was going to make me happy. I was able to open the glass where we were in the solarium. And then I was able to go out and kind of do my balcony thing in my room and stick my arm around the thing with my phone and make a whole bunch of people nervous. Taking pictures on one of those little arm things. So I felt like I, as somebody who likes to see everything from all angles, I did feel good. It would have been nice to do the North Star, but just a lot of pre-planning involved in that. You're going to have to time it just right. And hopefully that the capacity opens up. The other thing too, is the C-plex, the bumper cars, they weren't running all the cars because of COVID. They were only running a certain amount of cars. And that was a very limited time that they had that. Not all the activities were going. And that's something that, you know, we're talking about all these great benefits you get to sailing right now. But the other shoe is that you have to know that some things are a little more limited than we would typically find when the ship was 100% open and going full speed. And I know by the time this airs, we're going to be closer to them being.
It'll change again. So, but what were
your? Of course it will.
What were your COVID things that you had to do to get on the ship?
So I have to say, I am super impressed with Royal. This is the second experience I've had sailing with them in the last few months with their COVID protocols. And I am just continually blown away with how careful that they're being, and how the great lengths that they're going to keep us safe and make sure we can still have fun at the same time. So when I arrived at the port, I had ordered a kit through Royal, that came with $70. I had to pay for on my own. They're not paying for your kit. You have to pay for it on your own. And I got two kits at home that I could test with. You scan the QR code before you open them. It pops up an app. You get connected with a live person. They walk you through the process of opening your box. I recommend having like a cell phone stand to put your phone on so they can watch you when you're doing everything. They walk you through the whole process, very simple process of doing your test. And then they can kind of go away for 15 minutes while you're waiting for your results. And then they pop back on and you read the results together. And then you get an email with a printout to print out and take with you to the port. While you're in line waiting to get into the port, you want to open the app. And if you can, make sure that you are starting to watch those safety muster drill videos, watch it in line and check yes and get done with that. Because once you get inside, you're going to be continually asked, keep your vaccination card out if you have it, keep your test results out, and keep your passport out or your ID out the whole time. You're going to have to show them like 6 times.
If you're fully vaccinated, you have to take the test.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, if you have, like, if you live somewhere where they, like, I can drive up and do a free test in my town, can I do that instead? Or
do that as long as it's administered by someone else and it is one of the tests, the types of tests that they're accepting.
But they don't need a video of you doing it, right?
No, they don't need a video of you doing it. The reason I did that was because I wanted my test results done at home in my PJs in 15 minutes. And I didn't want to have to, where I live, it was starting to get really hard to get into
it. Yeah, I remember that.
So this is a very convenient way. And it's also, I think I'm going to keep ordering them to try and have on hand so that I can always check myself when I come home and make sure that I'm safe and not have anything to worry about. But I thought it was very convenient. I thought it was very efficient. There has been some issues with the tests that the tests that are being used by this company. There's actually a notice on there that they have the wrong expiration dates. Like they had some tests went out that said they expired in October, but they really extended it to January. So they're still good. So there's a little bit of confusion about that if you're listening to this before then and you're wondering why your test arrives and it's the wrong date. It's really not a...
You wearing masks like in the shows and stuff?
So we didn't, there's a vaccinated area and you didn't have to wear masks in the vaccinated only area. When it was an E for everyone, in your cruise compass, if it said E for everyone, then you had to have a mask on. If you had, if it was a V for vaccinated only, you didn't have to wear a mask at all. So there were quite a few things that we were able to do and did not have to wear a mask for, which was wonderful. The solarium was vaccinated only and mask-free area. The music hall, the bottom floor where I spent most of my time, was vaccinated only and a mask-free area. If you were unvaccinated, you were up at the top and you had to have a mask on up there. You were up in the balcony area.
That's good. So they still weren't missing out.
So they weren't missing out, but there were different trivias. There were different things that they were going on for everybody. And one thing that Royal did that I thought was so cool was they fogged every single area after every activity. So they fogged the entire music hall in between. Nice. They would shoo everybody out and then clean the area, make sure it was sanitized. And then they were constantly wiping stuff down. They were changing things out. There was somebody, I think they were handling it very well. Just thinking about that, the extra manpower that it takes to clean everything in between uses.
Yeah.
Continually all day long for an entire week long cruise and then doing it to turn over. It's just the dedication and the commitment that they have made to keep everyone safe. I'm extremely impressed. And the crew, they're on it. I was very impressed with how happy everyone was to be there again, how, you know, how conscious they were of wanting us to have a great time, but yet wanting to be mindful that we're keeping everyone safe. And of course, in the elevators, you're supposed to wear your mask, and, you know, tight little hallways, wear your mask, you know. I did have one instance where I had dropped my mask as I was coming out of my room. And I wasn't even thinking, I was walking down the hallway and I'm like, oh, and I turned, I got like two doors down and I realized I didn't have my mask on, and I go run back to get it. And my cabin steward's got my mask, and he's like, like, it's just wear it, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to, you know, especially when you're taking it off, going from one area where you don't need to have it to another area, it's bound to happen that you're going to forget, but just be mindful and put it back on and be courteous and try and keep everybody safe.
So was your cruise before or after the everybody has to be vaccinated rule?
It was before.
Okay.
So now it's different. Now there's probably not, you know, maybe I don't know. I'm willing to bet there's still fogging in between, because they were pretty committed to cleaning everything. Even the area that was vaccinated.
I'm still seeing recent videos and people are still wearing masks. And I'm just wondering, if you have to be vaccinated and you have to test 2 days before you get on, who are you masking for?
We're doing the same thing. Lindsay and I are going on a cruise next month, and it's a different cruise line, but we have to test 2 days before. Everybody has to be fully vaccinated and we have to wear masks.
So I was just on another cruise line that was a different cruise line, and I had to test at the port. I had to be fully vaccinated, and we got to the end of the gangway and they're like, masks off, everybody, you're on vacation.
Oh, sweet.
I didn't see one mask that entire sailing. So there, it's different. Every cruise line is different. So have with whatever, you know, whoever you're sailing with, whichever one of us that you're working with, just have a little, we're going to keep you up to date on what's going on, but it is changing rapidly again. Of course.
I think it just goes to show that the cruise industry in general has to be more careful than the rest of the world. You know, like, they got hit with such bad press. Well, they got hit hard anyway when, you know, it all started, but they just, cruising in general, people feel like, you know, like, there's this stigma where, oh, I'm going to get sick on a cruise ship and I'll be stuck. And it's not necessarily the case. So they always have to be mindful of being like a step above the protocols and stuff. So.
They're held to a higher standard. It's not fair that, you know, you can't track things at a resort or a theme park the way that you can.
Or a dorm room. I mean,
or dorm room.
Oh boy,
they get more sick at dorms than they do in.
Or, you know, that was one of the things I had somebody say, oh, how could you feel safe in a cruise ship? I'm like, I don't know. I know everybody in this room with me right now is vaccinated. I can't really say that when I go to my grocery store. I don't know who's touched this loaf of bread after they wipe their nose or done whatever. You don't really have that. It's because now I've been traveling so much since July that I almost feel safer when I'm traveling.
Yep.
I'm being mindful. Other people are being more mindful. Because when you're at home, you kind of, I don't know, like, you feel a little more lax, a little more relaxed and comfortable. And you're kind of, oh, I forgot.
It's all relative. Yeah.
So, Lindsay, out of all of your ports that you did, which was your favorite out of all of them?
Oh, this is not fair. So, of course, I went.
Yes, you have to pick one.
I went to breweries and distilleries at all of them, because I'm
mean. Okay. Which one had the tastiest beer or tastiest bourbon?
Okay, so I am super impressed with a brand new distillery in Juneau. I had probably one of the best old fashions I've ever had in my life. It was made with their whiskey that they make, and this is a distillery that just opened up after we were there, Sandy. This is a new. I had a maple syrup. I had a maple bourbon old fashioned, and it was just so delicious. I would buy the syrup to come home to try and make it. I wanted to buy the whiskey, but they were sold out. But
the name of the distillery?
It is. Oh my God. How am I? Okay, so while I'm finding that, so the other thing that I did that was really cool is I did a ghost tour in Skagway with the girls from the Red Onion Saloon. So with the madams, so to speak, and learned about an amazing side of Alaska history. I mean, that's the real gold rush. That's the gold rush we should really be learning about in school, because those ladies were able to retain their money. They were making $3 every 15 minutes.
And that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah, that's. I had somebody else do the math on Facebook because I'm not smart enough, but it was like $100. It'd be like the equivalent of $100 every 15 minutes. And many of them were able to hang on to their money and start businesses or move out, buy property, do stuff. I learned the history of so many inspiring women. Just great stories. And I highly recommend that tour. It was only like, it was probably like the best $50, $45 I've ever spent on a tour. So very, very worth
local flavor. And I know those towns are very happy to be welcoming the cruises back.
Oh, definitely.
Last year was hard for them.
Yeah. Last year was very hard for them. They were so they were hit so hard. The other thing that was nice is these towns were empty, which if you've been to Alaska, sometimes
on a cruise ship,
can be a little bit busy. It was not busy at all. That was interesting to see. I was very, I don't know. I was just happy. Every time I go to Alaska, I'm happy to be there and grateful to have the chance to experience a new part of Alaska. But they ended up I learned so much. I learned so much. I was only with this 3-hour tour and I learned so much about the history that I didn't know about what really happened during the gold rush. And did you know that the Californians who had the gold rush first were being sneaky, enterprising people that they were. They decided they were going to sell gold finding gophers to people going out. Oh my God. I learned so many cool, fun.
They brought gophers to Alaska?
No, they had gophers and they sold these gophers that were supposed to be gold finding gophers. And then another scam was they had dogs like Chihuahuas and puppies and they would sell them as Alaska sled dog puppies.
Oh my God. Okay. Now I've seen a Chihuahua puppy.
I don't know. I don't know what they looked like back then, but they were
like 3 pounds.
They were not sled dogs. And that was anyway, that was it was really cool. There was there was a bunch of, I don't know, a bunch of interesting stories about different women. And I could probably talk about it for like an hour, but I was very impressed with that tour. I loved visiting all the breweries. They were doing I went out to Auckland Brewery from Juneau. I did that as well. Went out, got a taxi and went out, or an Uber and went out to Auckland. And they were doing their Oktoberfest, which was really neat. Had some pretty decent food and got some great pictures and made it back to the ship. Didn't get left behind in Alaska, although I swear every time.
Even though you tried, right?
I try very hard to stay in Alaska.
Well, then that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.